So this evening we're going to be continuing our theme of being sent. We are sent ones. Did you know that? You are a sent one. You are sent by the Most High God. And I wanted to just open by saying and confessing really one of the most traumatic things that can ever happen to me is that my phone runs out of charge. Anyone else get in a tizz about that? Or does anyone feel relieved when their phone runs out of charge? Josie. Josie's glad she doesn't get harassing calls. But I'm checking it all the time. This is Confessions with Helly, okay? And if my phone runs out of charge, I get in a panic because it has no power. And the thing is, when a phone runs out of charge, what happens? The voice cannot be heard on the other end anymore. The light from the torch cannot be shone. The connection cannot be made. And it isn't enough to just have the plug very long lead. This is actually not enough. You need to plug in and connect to the source of power. And to be powerless is described... Ooh, now this is so long, it's dangling off the edge. Ooh. To be powerless is described as to be lacking in ability. When we're powerless, we feel we haven't got any influence. If we're powerless, we literally have no power, no strength. To use a word that I sometimes use, no oomph. We feel a bit, if there was a sound effect, it would be shriveled. I wonder when the last time was that you felt powerless. The last time you felt you lost your voice. Your light wasn't shining very brightly. You hadn't got the connections. And you certainly didn't feel you were connected in to the power. Maybe there were words that you wished you could have said, but you felt so small you couldn't get them out. Maybe you couldn't stop a baby from crying. That is a great example of feeling powerless. Or try to get a teenager out of bed. Not mentioning anyone. We've all, from time to time, had those moments, haven't we? But Acts 1, verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And so when we feel deflated, when we feel we haven't got authority, when we feel powerless and lost and that we're not shining very brightly, we do need power. And that is God. It comes from God. And we've been tracking through a little journey with Peter and his friend who were at Solomon's Colonnade. I think we've got a photo. Here it is, in Jerusalem. Lots of action happened here. And in Acts chapter 3, we heard about before that Peter had said, "I don't have any gold or any silver," to a man who was completely lame and had been for years and years. But he said, "I do have something I could give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then it says that Peter took him by the right hand and he raised him up miraculously. And immediately his feet and his ankles were given strength. He leaped, he stood, he began to walk, and he went with Peter and John into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And then it says, all the people who saw him were amazed. They weren't just amazed at what the name of Jesus could do. They were amazed at the power. Utterly amazed. And then Peter gives this kind of explanation because all these crowds start to come into that place, into those columns. Just imagine them surging in. And then he starts to talk to them and he says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We're witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and you know was made strong. It's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. And then, chapter 4, there begins to be a bit of a ruckus about this. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they're speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And so they seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. I like this bit. Verse 4, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. I wonder if you've ever felt sieged, shut down, enclosed. You might not be physically, but there's something that gags your voice or makes you feel completely oppressed, makes you feel, in a metaphorical sense, put in jail. Wonder if you felt like that. But what I love is it couldn't stop the gospel. And we have brothers and sisters all around the world who are sieged right now. They're completely sieged. It goes on in verse 5 to say, the next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law, they all met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had a massive family meeting. What on earth are we going to do? They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. And look what they questioned. What power or what name did you do this? They're talking about healing that lame man. How did you do it? And then it says this, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? He was completely sieged, been in prison overnight, but he seized the opportunity. And he said, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how was he healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. Boom. Would we have done that? The very thing that got them in trouble, he was like, nope, I'm not being silenced on this. And then he goes on, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He speaks back to a prophecy and says, this was you. It's become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. He doesn't even say it's optional. He's like, you must be saved, to the people who put him in prison. And then it says this, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, again, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So no matter how sieged we feel, or seized by people, taken in, shut down, if we've been with Jesus, people will notice. I wonder if you've ever noticed someone and you think, they look like they're really good friends with God. They look like they've spent time with Jesus. I remember coming back from a conference once, and Chloe, who was singing here, she went, you look a bit more shiny than when you went. And there was nothing I'd done. I'd just been with Jesus in his presence with loads of other cheering on, happy clappy people. And it was amazing. And people could tell. My own housemate could tell. And when you leave tonight, people will tell. Because you'll be infused by God's Spirit. And then it says, they could see that the man who'd been healed was standing there with them. And there was nothing they could say. They couldn't say anything because there he stood, a living, walking miracle, a testimony right in front of their very eyes. They couldn't say anything. And so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and they conferred together. Oh, what are we going to do? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they've performed a notable sign. We can't even deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to no longer speak to anyone in this name. So they called them back again, poor old Peter and John. And they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, what is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. Because these guys were like the religious police. As for us, we can't help speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard. Again, the very thing that got them in trouble, they just didn't care. They were like, bring it on. We answer to God. Just incredible, isn't it? After further threats, they let them go. They couldn't decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. And on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Isn't that amazing? I wonder if we would have gone to a prayer meeting or whether we'd have gone back to have a bit of a moan or a grumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. But this is what they prayed. They didn't even pray, God, bind up those guys. They tried to bind us. They didn't pray that. They didn't pray, could my faith be more comfortable? They didn't pray that. They didn't pray, could you do your miracles without us? Because it would be easier for us not to be threatened by those guys. They didn't pray that. This is what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, who's on the throne? God. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the power of your spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then they pray Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod, Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They prayed not for safety. They prayed not for protection from those accusing. They prayed for more boldness. Quite a challenge. And I think they reminded themselves in that prayer when they said, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders. They had stretched out their own hands, hadn't they, to the lame man. Peter reached his hand out. But as he reached out his hand to that man, whose hand was it really? It was God's. It was God's hand. And Paul in 2 Corinthians says, we have treasure in jars of clay to remind us, to show us, to demonstrate that any power we have actually belongs to God, not to us. We're just a kind of little jar. But we've got treasure and power. And when we reach out our hand, God's power touches people. Because Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then listen to what happens after they prayed. The place where they were meeting was shaken. Completely shaken. Maybe they were physically shaken as well. Maybe their souls were shaken. Maybe lies they'd believed about themselves or fears that were coming upon them were shaken off. And they were filled, all of them filled, with the Holy Spirit. And their prayer was answered. They spoke the word of God boldly. So I wonder when you felt seized, when you felt trapped in, when you felt silenced, when you felt squashed, when others are scheming against you or thinking up ways to punish you. They went through all of that. But they set their faces like flint, just like Jesus, because they knew they were sent ones. We're not of this earth. They knew that. I wonder if we've remembered that. They were the sent ones. You are a sent one. They were seized more by God than any people could. They were prisoners of God, totally captivated by his kingdom. No matter what life would ever throw at them, they would not depart from their faith. They didn't pray wussy prayers of comfort. They prayed prayers of boldness and courage. And just like they were sent, so are you. So are you. So when you're seized, seize the opportunity. Make the most of it. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she just said, oh, it's getting really tricky in my church to say things. And then someone else said to her, well, maybe you will end up in prison and maybe that's where God's sending you. And she was quite shocked. And I was like, what? It's in the Bible. Even if we're squashed, we're sent. Even when we're silenced, God can give us a voice. Even when we're bound, we can pray for boldness. Because they received power because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they were God's witnesses. They knew exactly who they were. And you can receive power to be God's witnesses to Cheltenham, to your work, to your housemates, to the people on your course, to your family members, to your friends, to those people you pass every day, to someone in a shop. You are a sent one. You are divinely appointed and anointed by God. You are not small and powerless. You are a child of the Most High God. And it goes on to say in Acts that more and more and more people believed in the Lord and they were added to their number. People started to bring the sick from the streets and lay them down on beds and mats so that even just Peter, this guy who'd been locked up, even that his shadow would fall on them as he passed them by. Can you imagine? Look, my shadow. Your shadow. As you walk past someone. Healed. I've got verses to prove it will work. And crowds would gather and they'd bring their sick. They'd bring people completely tormented by impure spirits and all of them were healed. And God just wants to fill us with his spirit. He wants to intensify within us his power to make himself known. He wants to demonstrate in tangible ways. You, me, we contain God. We are full of his actual spirit. He indwells us. He fills us. He supercharged us with his contagious holiness and power. Don't always need to make that weird sound effect, by the way. That would actually be a bit strange. Although I do know people who go boom when they pray for people, which again, maybe we won't do that tonight, but imagine it. If it helps you. Paul said a prayer in Ephesians 3 to the church in Ephesus, and he prayed for them that out of God's glorious riches, he would strengthen that community with power through his spirit in their inner being. And then in that same prayer, he reminded them, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or even imagine according to his power at work within us. So I wonder how powerless you're feeling or whether you're feeling a bit more plugged in. Maybe you're okay and you think, tomorrow I know my light will shine. Tomorrow I know that the connection's there with God. Tomorrow I know that I'll be a voice for God. Tomorrow I'll feel bold and confident that the Lord will give me the words to say, even if I feel trapped, sieged, silenced. I feel tonight God wants to give some of us our voices back. God gave them to you. They don't belong to anyone else. Take them back. Maybe you've lost your confidence in how robust your faith is. Reconnect. It's okay. God has his arms wide open. He's not cross. He wants us to catch this though. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you are sovereign Lord of all. That we declared your lordship so we don't belong to this world anymore. God, we belong to you and your plans. God, I pray for those of us who've lost our confidence in the voice that you've given us. Would you return it? For those of us who feel we're not very light, bright light, would you shine again, Lord? For those of us who feel we've lost our connection, we can receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Help us not to be deflated. Give us your strength, Lord, your ability, your authority, Lord. We thank you for these brave, courageous men in history. Would they be our examples, God? Help us not to chicken out. Help us to pray for courage. Help us to know we are sent by you, God, into this world and in power, in your power. I think some of us might need to be shaken. You know, sometimes when you, we don't really do this to people anymore, but I know that emotion where you just want to get hold of someone and give them a shaking. Don't you get it? I just wonder if God wants to do that for us today, to remind us of the faith we have, who we have that faith in, so that we can receive his boldness again.